Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Retro Rewatch, the show where Patrice Brenda Moore, hi, Patrice.
Hi.
has seen the retro TV shows that we talk about, and I'm Jeff Gamet. I have not, so I'm our first-time viewer here, and the way I see it, we're doing an extended shame podcast for me now watching shows that I should have seen years ago.
Yeah. Really funny, you said welcome back as if we had been on an ad break or something.
Well, you know, for some of our listeners, maybe we have. They might be binging.
I'm sorry.
I'm not judging.
Okay. I wanted to apologize for like the things they have to go through, but okay.
You know, when I'm around, apologizing just seems appropriate in general.
Okay.
Yeah. Patrice, I'm actually really glad we do this show together.
Me too.
Because I would not have started watching Stargate SG-1, which is what we're talking about, if it hadn't been for me in passing saying I hadn't seen it, and you being rightly appalled. Yeah.
Yes. You know what? Boring. So
I get that reference.
You do that. So, but now you also get the reference when I say that, because that is something I've been saying for many, 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 many years, and I only actually realized when I was rewatching it for this show that that's where it came from. It's just something I've been saying like for a long time. Like sometimes I just do that. I'm just like boring.
And now I totally get it.
Yeah. Now we know where
it is. And I know from. I have heard you say that many times, but I never had the reference until now.
I thought it was Sherlock, actually. But it's slightly different in Sherlock.
I mean, I can see why you'd think that now that you say it. Yeah.
Yeah. And in Sherlock, it's like, it's raining, it's pouring, Sherlock is boring.
But we're not doing Sherlock.
No.
We are doing Stargate SG-1. Yes. And we're in season 3, up to episode 16. Mm-hmm. And the episode is Ergo.
Boring. No, Ergo.
Ergo. You always have really interesting information about the episodes. Oh. So no pressure. I'm just assuming you do for this one as well.
I hope so. I mean, hopefully I'm not boring. January 28th, 2000 is when this episode originally aired in the United States. If I remember correctly, 2 days before that, it actually aired in the UK, if I saw correctly. And November 15th, 2000 in Germany, as always. So we're catching up with Germany. We have an IMDb rating, slightly down from last week. I don't know why, because I actually found it really enjoyable, but 7.9.
I have a hypothesis on that.
Yes, I think it was too funny for people. That's why.
Yes, same reason why people don't like episodes of like Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
Where they do something more lighthearted.
Yes.
Because they just want their serious cookie cutter sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly. It's not Stargate if there's no world in it or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, we have a writing credit going to Tor Alessandro Valenza, as always. Like we've had episodes with him before, so nothing crazy. I could look up what his previous episode was, and that was Past and Present, actually. So not that long ago.
Oh, okay.
See, and I don't even remember that. and we have, of course, Peter DeLuise, as always. Good director, frequent director of episodes, and yeah, he's also back.
Patrice, you'll be happy to know that I was able to find his cameo in this episode.
Okay, in this episode, it was also quite obvious. We had him as a director in the two-parter, right? Juliano's Memory and The Devil You Know, right? So that was his last credit. So not that long ago, actually. It's only been a couple episodes. He's been busy. I can definitely tell you that. We have some guest stars, and I'm also happy to say that you recognized the main character, the actor that plays him. Dom DeLuise is back, or is here, is with us.
I have been a fan of Dom DeLuise for many years.
Yes, I think a lot of people has. Also, the dad of Peter DeLuise. So.
Yes, and so there is no surprise when the credits rolled that Dom DeLuise is going to be in the episode. Yeah. But when I saw that, I audibly proclaimed to my office manager sitting on the couch beside me, "Oh my God, Dom DeLuise." And since Peter DeLuise was directing, I see both those credits, and then I was super excited, and I thought it was really cool that we had a father-son team-up.
Absolutely. And since, I mean, I think we talked very early on when we got Peter DeLuise's first time as a director. We talked about that and that you like his dad's work and all of that. So now you get to enjoy him in a sci-fi setting.
Yes.
We have our favorite doctor with us, Terrell Rothery, as Dr. Frasier, of course.
Which... awesome.
We have Nicholas Baric. I think that might actually be a Serbian or Croatian name, just from the name. Regular background actor, played Lieutenant Jonathan Reed in A Matter of Time, most recently.
Okay.
Yeah. We have Bill Nicolai as Technician Vern Alberts, also frequent performer in technician roles. We have Nessa Chapman as an uncredited SF Guard background role. We have, of course, Peter DeLuise as... who was he?
He was the officer that,
sexy,
that magically
sexy
replaces
Ergo. Sexy Ergo.
Sexy, okay,
slightly.
I, like
long. I think officially it's young Ergo in uniform, but I call him sexy younger Ergo in uniform.
Okay, that totally works.
Yeah. Rob Farrell as Master Sergeant Farrell, and T.M. Sandilek as Sergeant Siblinski, also both of them uncredited, but in the episode can be recognized. We have a German title. That was an interesting one. It's Titel in German, title in English, and title if you put both together, I guess. It's German title.
That's how English works, really, right. Britain kept getting conquered, and then they just mash in parts of the language of the conquering group. So
sounds like it.
Taking the two words like that. Yeah, yes. and now it's tittle, and now we have to live with
German
it.
German tittle. Ergo, as well. Same as English, of course. We have... the reason Dom DeLuise was cast is that Tor Valenza specifically wanted him for the role, and he wanted the Peter DeLuise Dom kind of team-up. So that's why he wrote this very episode.
That's awesome.
Dom DeLuise improvised extensively during filming, not a surprise there. So the editors had to skillfully cut his ad-libs together with the scripted material to make it kind of a coherent episode. You couldn't tell. It felt very natural. How it flowed.
Everyone did a great job.
Yeah. According to Stargate SG-1, the illustrated companion to season 3 and 4, very few shots include Teal'c because Christopher Judge couldn't keep a straight face. Peter DeLuise kept Teal'c on screen for as much as he could using the shots. He also always had a camera on Dom DeLuise to capture basically whatever he was doing so that they had as much material as possible to edit with.
That makes sense. Yeah. And with someone like Dom DeLuise, if you're not rolling film the whole time he's there, you are failing at your job.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can only imagine like how hard it was for the other actors to even do their thing, because it was probably nonstop laughs, and they had
there's very few scenes, now that I think about it, mm-hmm. where Dom DeLuise and the other cast members are like directly together.
Yeah, it's very few.
The shot is showing them at the same time.
Yeah. As I said, it was conceived as a comedic exploration of what if SG-1 went through the gate, and for them it was like they never left. But 16 hours had passed, so that's what the setup is. The beach paradise footage is very special. Did you recognize that by any chance?
I absolutely recognized that footage.
Okay, from where?
Yes, we saw it. We've seen it in multiple episodes at this point.
Not like that. This is a very special. This is a very special setting.
So the beach with the palm tree in the water.
Not like that. We've not seen this before like that. We had beaches before and fire and water and whatever, and it's been used.
Right.
But this beach is actually, it's a green screen composite, tropical background. It's actually a tribute to the movie Contact. That is where you've seen this before. That exact paradise scene is from Contact. And there's actually musical hints here and there if you paid attention to it.
It's been a very long time since I've seen Contact.
Yeah, I actually watched it like a year ago or something. Still a good
maybe
movie.
Maybe I should go rewatch it.
Still a good movie. Yeah, maybe you should.
It's an excellent book. Carl Sagan was great.
Yeah. Maybe I should read the book.
If you have not read the book, you definitely need to read it, because
mm-hmm. I get that.
They had to change a bunch of stuff to make it work in a movie format.
Yeah, as they do. That's normal.
And so you will really, really enjoy the book, I think.
Anyway, that is it for interesting things for now. I have a bunch of things for later, as you can imagine. This episode is full of little funny things that you could see. Funny or interesting. Or both.
Very likely both for this episode.
Yes.
So. All right. Well, then I guess we should jump in.
Yeah, we should.
All right. So our teaser intro starts off with the shot that you just mentioned from Contact.
Yeah.
That I thought was originally from Fire and Ice. And... And I was wrong. And so idyllic setting on the screen, and I'm gonna screw it up already.
Yeah, they talk about the weather. It's perfect. There's no signs of civilization. That's the whole thing. And then Teal'c says, "Appearances may be deceiving."
and they start the whole thing with
I have it verbatim. O'Neill says, "One man's ceiling is another man's floor." Daniel says, "A fool's paradise is a wise man's hell." And then Jack wraps it up with, "Never run with scissors."
That's why I couldn't remember, because I thought that came later.
Right in the opening. Like that whole thing, so. That whole random thing.
So they're ready to go check out this beachfront property on another planet.
Yeah.
And
Jack says one thing before that I also found notable. He says, "Au revoir, mon général." To Hammond. That probably was a Star Trek reference.
I'm assuming so, because it does sound very cute.
Exactly. you got it.
Yeah. So they step through the gate and then immediately come right back through. Yeah. And they're like, "Whoa, that was weird."
Yeah.
And Hammond's
is there. There's cars and everything.
And he's like, "People, you didn't just step through and back. there's been 15 hours of time lost for you.
Yeah.
And so everyone's like, uh-oh. And then we get the credits.
The intro, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good intro, bad intro, interesting, not so interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was a good intro. Mm-hmm. It was quick.
Yeah.
It gave us a really good setup.
Not as quick as last week's, well, last episode's.
No, but the pacing was really mm-hmm. good. So mm-hmm. it felt very quick.
Yeah, it did.
And when we end the intro and move into the opening credits, mm-hmm. we have a setup where we know there's going to be a problem, mm-hmm. but we don't know what it is. And I liked that because instead of me being like, okay, now we have the whole setup for the entire episode, and mm-hmm. I know how this is going to play out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what was going to happen, and mm-hmm. I really liked it.
Yeah, that was definitely a really good setup. Like, it's like, there's so many possibilities what could have happened. It's like, okay, maybe they did step through time. We've had that before. Like, mm-hmm. who knows? Like, there's many, many possibilities what could have happened. One of which is what happens. So, yeah. And I think we also set up the comedic part, because like with the whole quip, with the, like them throwing phrases at each other, it's kind of like, I think it goes in the direction the episode will go. Without being too obvious that it's a comedic episode. It's just like a little.
Yes. Thing. Yes. I mean, the back and forth banter like that could happen at any time because mm-hmm. Jack. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think that was a very subtle nod to what was coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I liked it. So we come back from the credits.
And we're back.
And we're back. Yeah, hey everyone, welcome back to the episode. I can't believe I'm left unsupervised.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right?
Who lets us do this? I think Brian has to step in.
Oh, we're really in trouble. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh my God, can you believe before, back in the old days, I was a supervisor.
Yeah.
I was left in charge.
Yeah, tell me about it. I am a supervisor.
If people take us seriously.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyhow. So
no, they don't. That's fine.
That explains a lot. They just humor us. Exactly. Now I get it. So much makes sense now. Yeah. So anyhow, we're back and we go to hang out with Doc Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with these people at all.
Yeah.
I can't find anything. All their tests are fine.
Yeah.
But our team keeps insisting, look, we walk through the gate. And then that's the last we remember.
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking back through the gate.
Yeah. But there's a small problem. Because Hammond says, they send another MELP. And it showed the same thing as the first one. And then both MELP came back before the team came back. So they assumed, okay, the team probably sent back both MELPs.
Which turns out that's not the case. Yeah.
But it also shows you that there is definitely a problem. Like if they stepped through and came back out right away, how come the MELPs came back and all of that?
Yes. So at this point, we now have enough information that the formula for a Stargate episode mm-hmm. fits, because yeah. this means we need to go to the exposition room.
Correct. We need. And I want to point out, Carter has something that we probably wouldn't have today. She has a tape recording.
Oh my God, that's
right.
One of
those little mini tape things.
Yes. And okay, so here's the awesome thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's something that I remember just mm-hmm. being part of our world.
Mm-hmm.
When she has that, it didn't feel anachronistic to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it fits in the time, for sure.
Oh, yeah. But when you point it out, I'm like, yeah. Oh, my God, that is so old school. They would just have the digital file now. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, yeah, so they have the recording.
Mm-hmm.
This is a place where I actually do have a small problem with the episode.
Okay.
But I understand why they set it up this way, because it was much easier to give us the setup for the problem.
Okay.
And so the problem that I have is that Sam is the only person that seems to notice that there's no MALP 1.
Yes.
In the footage from MALP 2.
They should have, the Hammond's people should have noticed that when they send MALP 2.
Right. But I have a feeling that this was a much more efficient way to establish that problem than...
Yeah. There was one, I think, comment from Jack that kind of explains that away, because Jack said, well, maybe the other MALP kind of... It's supposed to do some recon, so maybe it reconned away, basically. I think something like that, he said. Basically implying that, oh, maybe you couldn't see it because it was just, I don't know, around the corner or something. But then I think Carter says, yeah, but you would still see the tracks.
Which is valid, and there were no tracks to see.
Yeah, and that's when she then runs the thing frame by frame.
And when she runs it frame by frame, you can see that as the camera is, I guess, initializing,
mm-hmm.
there is a frame where the image that we see, the contact image, isn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're actually looking at a room where the first MALP is just sitting there.
Yeah. And that's, here's why that is also the contact image, because in contact, that is also not real. Right? She falls basically from the outside perspective, she falls through the spinning whatever device thingy, and basically nothing happens. And in reality, she experiences, what was it, 38 minutes, I think, or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Or 18, I remember some number, but it's basically, and she ends up on a planet which is probably imagination, or in her imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's the whole thing.
Okay, so I wish I had remembered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Contact more, or I wish I'd seen it recently, so that those little things would have stood out to
me.
But
that's why this image probably is there, because it's as fake as the one that is in contact.
Yeah.
Daniel and Jack seem eerily fascinated by their coffees all of a sudden.
Yeah, and they're doing this whole back and forth thing, like coffee snobs about there's hints of chicory in this. And
Carter was thinking the same thing, and then Tia gulps down like an entire thing of coffee straight from the thermos.
Which, I mean, it's okay, and it's funny to watch because it is so straight up out of character.
Yeah,
but then you also know he's drinking a pot of hot coffee.
Yeah. And Christopher Judge actually had to drink multiple pots of, probably not boiling hot coffee, but still hot enough coffee for this episode.
So that it wouldn't be gross. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But we do get a funny joke to follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Teal's absurd, I just drank a pot of coffee, because Jack's like something, whoa,
he's like, isn't that
kind of hot?
He's like, isn't that hot? And Teal is like, extremely.
Just totally deadpan, extremely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so clearly, we have a problem here.
Yeah, something because, is weird.
Right, and so Hammond confines the team to base, or restricts them to the base.
Yeah.
Which seems like a prudent move.
Yes, I would say so. Despite the fact that Frasier couldn't find anything, something isn't right.
Right. And Hammond is correct. And something is not right.
We talked about fire and water and like the whole experience there. So, I mean, it could be psychological, right?
True, it could be. I like the little exchange between Hammond and Teal'c here, because Teal'c asserts he's fine, and Hammond points out, you just drank half a gallon of hot coffee straight from the pot.
Yeah.
This is not fine. And Teal'c's like, yeah, okay.
Exactly. So we go to a place, I don't think, have we been there before?
We have.
We have. I don't see. I don't remember going to the cafeteria.
Sam and Cassandra.
Ah, it's true. Yes, you're right. We haven't seen that in a long time. Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Although, I do recognize the room. It gets redressed for various locations in Stargate Command.
Of course, yeah. They don't have that many sense.
Yeah.
I mean, so, remember...
Yeah, Sam and Cassandra were in the cafeteria. Yeah,
remember Foothold, where they reused the gate room?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember if Sam and her Tallinn boyfriend... We're in the cafeteria.
I think so, yes.
I mean, it was definitely that set. I just can't remember if it was dressed for...
I think it was. I think so. You're right. I just didn't cafeteria. Remember it. Yeah. So anyway, Jack is sitting there and like with a piece of cheesecake, and it seems to be really yummy. It's like eating it like potato chips.
The way he gets into that, I liked, because it's like he absentmindedly takes a bite of this pie.
Uh-huh.
And then he's like, whoa, and he takes another bite.
Yeah.
Because he's surprised.
Yeah.
And then he likes it so much, he just picks it up like it's a sandwich, and he just starts eating it.
Yeah. He had to do that multiple times, of course, for multiple takes. So he had a lot of pie that day.
He had a lot of pie. Also, during this scene, I'm watching the group of soldiers behind him trying to pick out Peter DeLuise.
Yeah, wasn't there.
He's not there.
No, he wasn't there. But I was thinking as well.
But I was assuming that's where he would be for this one. And of course, I was wrong.
Yeah. So while that is happening, we get other reactions now that are interesting.
Oh, right, because we have Sam.
Yeah, and she's in the MELP room. I don't think that we've seen before, like a room full of MELPs.
No, that I don't recall seeing that either. Yeah. I mean, she just gets up.
Yeah, and she's like, she just, all of a sudden, she's like, looks around and then, like, walks off.
Yep, but it's clear she's walking off with intent.
Yes.
And Daniel, he's working in his lab, and he just gets up.
Little thing in his lab. Did you notice he had a picture of Cherie on his desk?
I did not. My eyes kept being drawn to the screensaver where it was like Egyptian hieroglyphs dancing.
Yeah. That screensaver is really famous.
So, I missed the picture of Cherie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they all go to the. Turns out they all go to the cafeteria. Where Jack has, in the meantime, assembled all the desserts he could find.
Yes. And there's the lunchroom lady looking on with disbelief.
Yeah. Yeah, and the bunch of guards standing around behind them. And then Daniel says with his mouth full, this is the best pie I've ever had.
Yeah, and... so they're just kind of going crazy.
All of
them eating, and then they get called back to Dr. Fraser's.
We get SG-1 report to MedLab 3, and they are about to walk out, and then I think was it Jack or Daniel? Someone comes back and Jack grabs another like piece of pie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep, and. So now we finally get an explanation.
Kind of.
At least the beginning of an explanation.
Yes.
Because it turns out that when Dr. Fraser went and did more digging into the data they had collected during her tests, that she found this teeny, teeny, tiny little
orb.
Ball bearing orb.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, she first found an errant pixel in all brain scans. That was the original thing. And she was like, the weird thing was it was always in the same place. So she did a deeper scan, and that's when she found the little orb thingy. Little tic-tac. Brain tic-tac.
Yes, the brain tic-tac. And yeah, so when you zoom in, we do get this nice image that they made of like I don't know, like neurons or something kind of wrapped around this little Death Star ball.
Yeah, little brain tic-tac.
Wrapped around the brain tic-tac.
Yeah.
And so then they're like, oh, we got to remove that. Oh, I'm wrong.
Yes. Go to the expo room.
Because now we have to talk about what we just discovered. And so what we find out is that these can't be removed without potentially leaving them with brain damage or dead.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they're so tiny, we don't even have the technology to do that. Not the 90s, probably not today.
Right, yeah, she couldn't find any markings, indications anywhere.
Any indication that there had even been surgery of some sort. Right, that was the whole other thing, like nothing. Otherwise, I mean, she would have noticed during her examination probably.
Yeah, but there's no marks at all.
Yeah. And Hammond asks, like, can we determine what threat they pose? Jack says, apparently all deserts on base are in grave danger.
Yeah, which is very funny. Yes. So they're apparently emitting some sort of radio signal.
Yeah, faint EM field, Carter says, I think.
Okay.
Or Fraser, I don't remember, someone says.
So this means they need to be like really locked down. So they get quarantined.
Yeah.
But at least they all get quarantined together.
Yeah. They get quarantined in the level 22 isolation quarters with a 24-hour guard. That's what Hammond says.
Yeah. So now we get to go to their quarantine room.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there and they're talking back and forth. They're trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, they're playing things or reading or whatever. They're kind of trying to keep busy. And you know what that is? Boring.
Boring. So this is when we finally get all the pieces to come together.
Yes. Yeah. It's really funny how that is revealed. Like, first you hear the voice.
Yeah, disembodied voice.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what?
Did you hear that? Yeah, we all heard that.
And then they realize there's this guy in kind of ornate robes just standing in the room with them.
Yeah, and his name is Urgo.
Right. Jack calls
in an airman to just like, can you see anybody standing around here? And he like looks around. It's like, no. And it's like, okay, you can go again.
So, but interesting, right before that was they all are like, yes, Urgo, we see you.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't told them his name. And then they realize, holy crap, we know his name.
Oh, yeah. I think they all said, no, never mind. They all said, hello, Urgo.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. In unison, basically.
Yeah. So, so the soldier, he doesn't see anyone.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves the room, but Urgo is still there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember what they say, but Urgo makes a comment about Jack gets confused easily.
Yeah. He says like, so they figure out that Urgo can read their thoughts, and Urgo says about Jack, oh, he gets confused. By the way, who is Mary Steenburgen?
Which Jack wasn't pleased.
No. Yeah. Cardler is of course very excited about the technology.
Yes. And so we find out through this little discussion.
Yeah.
That they can see them. He can interact with them. He cannot physically control them.
Yeah, he cannot make them do things, but he can make suggestions. kind of lean into the things that they might want to do anyway.
Yeah, and...
And then he's like, boring. He wants to go someplace else.
Right. So our team decides we better go talk with Doc Fraser because we got some weird stuff going down.
Yeah.
So
they go to the infirmary again.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so Doc Fraser is asking them, so you see this person now?
Yeah.
He's here with us?
Yeah. What does he look like? Can
you describe him?
Yeah. Yeah. And Jack says, a famous tenor. Which is a reference.
I assumed it was a reference, and I assumed it was Pavarotti.
It is exactly that. It's Pavarotti, because he played a caricature of the singer in The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes's Smarter Brother.
Oh my God. forgot about that.
So there's your Sherlock Holmes reference, just FYI. So
there we got our Sherlock Holmes. Okay. And so now we get this fun scene.
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, Christopher Judge is so good at playing the straight man.
Oh, yes, he is.
But I don't know how he managed now, knowing that he couldn't keep a straight face through shooting. So Ergo's over by what Doc Fraser's standing by, which turns out to be a defibrillator.
Yeah, and he's like, what is this? And then he turns to Tilo and he's like, try it or something. Like, he's like...
Yeah, because they explain to him it's a defibrillator, and he says, ooh, is it fun? Does it feel good? Does it kill you? Yeah. And Sam's explaining it back, and Doc Fraser's like, what the hell? And then he does the little hands thing at Teal'c, like, I'm sending the force at you.
Yeah.
And Teal'c just walks over to pick up the defibrillator to zap his own chest.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, whoa, 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 stop.
And he stops.
Yeah.
Does not accept himself. Carter figures out a really important point.
Yes. Ergo and the little tic tacs in everyone's head.
Tic tacs, yeah.
The brain tic tacs. This is like highly advanced alien probe technology. It's like their version of a MALP.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically Ergo's job is to collect information through them. That's why he's been asking so many questions.
And it totally makes sense.
Yeah, and Teal'c quips, he's like, he appears unresponsive to direct questioning.
And so Ergo, he's like, no, that's not true. You can ask me anything.
Yeah.
And so Teal'c's like, so how do we take you out of our brains? And Ergo says, okay, anything but that, or something to that.
Yeah, effect. He says, oh, except that. Duh. Daniel then like realizes, she's like, so we've been tagged, like we do with animals in the wild when we want to study them.
Which is actually kind of accurate.
Kind of how exactly how that happens. Yeah.
And so someone asks the intelligent question. Well,
Carter, of course.
Of course. So how do your creators actually get the information that you're collecting?
Yeah.
And Ergo's like, I don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he says that his creators are actually really bad.
Yeah, they're evil.
But then he goes on to actually tell them.
Yeah, they're going to kill you, as in dead. They're going to kill you. They open your brains with a big giant can opener, and they scoop me out with big scoopy thing. That's how it works. It's death or me or death. You have to decide, me or death. And Jack says, we're thinking.
Which is very
not an easy choice.
Not an easy choice.
Yeah.
And if I'm remembering correctly, because we've just been given a big info dump, we're going to have to unpack it, which means we have to go to the expo room again.
Correct.
By the way, they're making up for lost expo room time
Oh, yeah.
from previous episodes in this one.
This, I mean, the expo room is definitely doing overtime in this episode.
And yes, but at the same time, it's also a great platform for letting Dom DeLuise just do his thing.
Oh, yeah. He's being super annoying.
Yes. And now that I know that he was ad-libbing a lot and they were just figuring out how to fit the footage together, now I can see in this scene and in others, basically everything he does is just improv.
Yeah.
And they figured out how to fit improv in to the rest of the scene.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm pretty sure also the rest of the cast worked a little bit with that. It was like, okay, if he does that, then we'll do this and whatever. Like, they're professionals. Right, so they could do that.
Yeah. So we get some awesome Dom DeLuise.
Mm-hmm.
And but we do get out of this Dom DeLuise improv session a key piece of information, which is really all they needed to get out of this.
Yes,
and it's that we might be able to disable the brain tic tacs.
Yes, so off Carter goes to figure out how to disable the brain tic tacs, but Ogre is following her because of course he is.
Because of course he is, yeah.
And he's annoying her while they're walking in the hallway. And it's a really funny scene when Carter's like in the hallway and Hammond and Fraser are there. And she's kind of talking to the air, basically.
Yeah. Okay. So Amanda Tapping is just fantastic in this scene.
Yes.
And I love when she walks out of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's clearly annoyed and upset with the things that Ergo is saying.
Yes.
And the look that she gives to the air
as
she just walks away is fantastic. It's worth seeing the episode just to watch that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know.
And Hammond's.
And we have Dom DeLuise.
And Hammond's and Fraser's reaction to it.
Oh my God, it's wonderful. It's like they now have this back and forth about do you actually have exactly what they say, because it's better than me paraphrasing.
I did not actually write that down, but I do have the transcript. I just have to bring it up real quick. But basically Hammond asked them whether they were actually sane. So
Hammond, trying to find the
Hammond
word.
Hammond says, "Doctor, are we entirely sure the members of SGN are, what's the word?" And Fraser says, "Sane."
Yeah.
And Hammond says, "That's the one." And she says, "Yes, sir. Remember, everything we see or hear is processed in the brain. Ergo is creating an image of himself that they are responding to just like they would you or me." And Hammond says, "If you say so."
I absolutely love that back and forth.
And you know, that is an interesting point. That is actually a very deep point. You know, people sometimes imagine things. That mm-hmm. is a thing. Like, I think we all do, kind of, sometimes. I mean, that's what dreams are, almost, right? So, if you see and or hear something, someone, and you interact with them, are they real or not? I mean, everything we do is filtered through our perception. So if our eyes are telling us there is a person, even if it's not there, can we tell? That's the difference at the end.
And, you know, and especially in this case,
mm-hmm.
where we have people with brain tic tacs.
Yeah. Yeah, for them, I mean, they know he's not real. They can, I mean, that's the easy one. You can, like, I think Jack does it at some point. He, like, just, I think later on, he, like, just waves his hand through Ergo because, like, of course he's not real. Of course he's not really there. And that's basically, but even that, I mean, honestly, if Ergo can.
But it doesn't mean he's not real.
Yeah, well, actually, that is true. But I'm actually thinking, Ergo probably could have even faked that, because I mean, at the end of the day, it's also the sensation of your hand is just another input.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good question. It's a very fairly, very like metaphysical, philosophical question. Like, is like, if you're seeing and hearing someone, are they more or less real?
Which is a nice, not ham-fisted bit of foreshadowing.
Oh yes.
and I call it out as not ham-fisted because there's a long history in SG-1 to this point of very ham. Yes.
Yes.
So I believe now we go to see Sam working on her solution.
Yes, we go to the lab. And she might have a solution, and I think the others show up because they know that she's basically there. And
right.
Ergo is trying to distract Carter the entire time. He's like, she's like, so smart and yet so wrong. Like, he's constantly interjecting and trying to distract her with things. But she has an idea, EMP.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because we've already set up that it's an electromagnetic field that's being emanated from the device.
So it must be electronic of some sort, or at least that's what she thinks.
And if so, then an EMP
could work.
It should do something. But Ergo's not having it. And he tries to convince Sam it's wrong. Yeah. Then he's pleading and he's like, look, I can be tiny. Look, haha. That is so fantastic. Yes, and he's like, well, maybe you'd like me better if I look different. And so we get a flash, which to me looked like the Q flash from Next Generation. And there he is standing there. And now it's Peter DeLuise in military uniform. And looking sexy in his uniform, and he's like, how about this? And so he switches back, he's not happy. And Sam gives us an important piece of information that I needed to hear, because I'm thinking, you're about to set off an EMP in a base where it's all electronics. You can't do this. Right. And then she closes the door and I'm like, thank you. And he's like, oh, how much time do I? And then, boom, he gets zapped. Oh, okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah, good job. So he's gone. No one hears him in their head. And exactly. And yeah, they're like, let's give it a week and see. Oh, of course we do. Oh, that's right. So, okay, that's right. Yes, of course that's right. Which seems prudent. Yeah. So now we get something that, unless I've got the scenes in the wrong order, where I'm like, oh yeah, okay, so they're going for music that is in the public domain.
Don't think so.
Because, well,
we go to Fraser's office next.
Yes, and we have Fraser.
Ah, yes,
and Sam.
Yeah,
and they're talking about maybe getting together in a few days. And it was Cassandra getting a boat.
Fraser says, assuming you're clear by next weekend, Cassandra and I are going to the lake and we're going to rent a rowboat. Would you like to come along? That's what she says.
And she's like, yeah, that sounds great. And then, but she needs to go off and do something.
Fraser sends her back and it's like Daniel next. So basically she's done, like, she's doing some sort of assessment, I assume.
Right.
And so she's sending her back. And as she is leaving, Carter starts to sing "Row, row, row your boat."
Yeah. Okay. And yes, so she thinks that's a little weird.
Yeah.
And when
she turns to the monitors where the others are, like the other three are on camera,
and they're all singing "Row, row, row your boat,"
and they're all singing. Yes.
And by the way, listening to Teal'c sing "Row, row, row your boat" is kind of weird.
I mean, also Jack, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know where we go next.
Well, yeah, because now we have to unpack what just happened. So we're back to the exposition room.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how, as the scene gets going, Jack's like, I was not singing.
Yeah.
But they play the tape of him singing so that he can see himself.
Yeah, and he's like,
he's like, oh. And what a surprise. Ergo's with them.
Yeah, and he, now Jack calls him. No, Jack says, okay, if you call that singing. Then he calls for Ergo. And Ergo appears and is like, I couldn't help myself.
And Sam's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And she says,
so apparently it was just...
Yeah, she says, the system must have some sort of reset. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Hammond's like, okay, we have to take you off duty now, yes, because this is too dangerous.
Yeah. I think we learned from Ergo that, like, he was gone for a little while, but then he came back. So that's why Sam said there must be a reset. And I think Jack says, this is not really necessary. And then Hammond says, well, I believe it is. Whether you admit it or not, you've been compromised. The fact is, an alien entity has control over you, however limited. We don't know what it's capable of. Good point.
Good point. And... Jack can't argue with that, and Hammond's right. They should not be on active duty because there is a threat. However humorous or minimal it may be, there is a threat.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially since, like, I mean, he did actually hurt them. So.
Yes, because there was I think it was Hammond pointed out that when he was trying to distract Sam, he made her spill her coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Burned her hand.
And burned herself. Yeah. 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 So now they realize, yeah, we have to go back, but we're not sure how to proceed safely. So they decide they're going to send a MALP through.
Yeah. There's one thing that Ergo says before then. Because I think Carter and Jack are fighting a little bit. about their software and like what this means. And Ergo says, like, please don't fight. I'm here. What's the difference? Look, I'm not going to make another noise. Not a peep. Nothing. I'm going to be quiet. Quiet like a little tiny mouse. Not a beat. Watch. Oh, I got an idea. Why don't we play a game? Some sort of wonderful game. Oh, something with a dictionary. It's so much fun. You know, you get a word and then, huh, you write down you think what you think the word is and then, oh, it's a lot of laughs. And educational. It's really nice. I think you like it.
Yeah, so O'Neill, we know how the being quiet's going.
Exactly, and O'Neill puts down the bed, his head on the table. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah. I can see where for a few minutes having Ergo with you could be kind of
fun, and then you're like, oh.
Kind of fun. Yeah, but not for long.
No, and I mean, he's a computer program, so he's on 24/7.
Yes. Yep. So we send a new Malp back to what's obviously not the beachfront property.
Yes.
And so then Hammond, he uses the radio to send a message through the Malp, saying who he is and
that we know that they've got this problem and that the images are fake. And he wants to talk, basically. That's what he says.
Right. And they get a reply back.
Yeah.
But it's not exactly friendly.
No, he says, who dares challenge Togar?
And I believe at this point, it's either Jack or Hammond. It's like, Daniel, you're up.
Hammond is like, Dr. Jackson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that I have verbatim again because that was really fun. So Daniel says, this is Dr. Daniel Jackson. We don't mean to challenge you. We've discovered the devices you implanted in our brains and we'd like you to remove them. Him. And Togar's like, him?
Him?
And Daniel's like, Ergo. And Togar's like, how do you know this name? And it's like, he told us. He interacts with us. Yeah, Jack interjects. He's like, he's driving us crazy. And Togar's like, that is an error. Return the subjects. Ergo will be removed.
And so at this point, we now have a dilemma because maybe Togar's like, oh, yep, I got to get those out and everything will be fine. Or maybe getting them out means exactly what Ergo said.
Yeah.
And you have to kill the subjects to remove the brain tic tacs.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be dangerous. So Jack is like, okay, let's ask. I think Hammond like is like, okay, you should make the decision. So Jack is like, let's ask the question. Do we want to give up SG-1 and walk around the rest of our lives with him yapping away in our heads? And
that's a good question.
Teal'c has a good point. He's like, if we are to remain in service of this world, Ergo must be removed. And Ergo's like, it turns to Sam. He's like, Sammy, you like me. I remind you of Uncle Irving. And Carter's
and
like,
she's like, yeah, you kind of do.
Yeah. But she's also, sorry, I guess I say we go. And Hammond says, then it's settled. They go. And Ergo says, I think, no, he doesn't say anything. He's like, oh. He's like, he's going to die.
Yeah, but he keeps pleading to try and get the team not to go back.
Yeah, so they're in the locker room, getting ready.
Oh, yes, in the locker room.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, please don't go. He's going to kill you. He really will. He's nasty. It'll be painful, an awful death, honest. Okay, fine. He's going to kill me. You hurt him. Oh, you people, for crying out loud. Don't you have any feelings?
So that whole thing right there, well, great, because it's Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
Tells us Ergo's been lying.
Yes.
Because it's not the people that are going to be killed.
It's him.
It's Ergo that's going to be killed.
Yeah. And Carter says, like, that voice, Togar said that this was an error. We're probably not even supposed to know he's here. You aren't supposed to be interacting with us, are you?
And they
start a really interesting conversation about, is Ergo a life form?
Yeah. And Jack, he's like, whoa, hold on. But you have Sam and Daniel going back and forth about, well, actually, hold on.
Yeah.
We now have an ethical dilemma here.
Yeah. So what constitutes a sentient life form? Self-awareness, consciousness, the ability to think independently. And Daniel's like, fear of death. So they conclude he is artificial intelligence.
And ergo, each time they say one of these things, he's like, oh, I've got that. Oh, I really got that. Yes. And then the fear of death, I definitely have that.
Yes. And so Carter's like, I mean, he like, just because someone made him, it doesn't mean he isn't alive. I'm just saying we should consider it. I mean, maybe this error wasn't really an error at all, but rather some higher technological evolution, the birth of a whole new life form.
Jack's still not on board, though.
No, he says, Hammond said it. We've been compromised. Now we explain the situation to this Toga guy, and then we let him deal with Hugo once he's out of our heads.
And Ergo's like, oh, no.
I'm doomed.
Doomed.
I'm doomed, he says. Oh, I'm doomed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So off they go.
And off they go. They go through the gate, and then we see them on the other side.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay. And then they get zapped away to a different room.
Yeah.
Where they don't have their gear with them. And Jack goes, oh, I hate when that happens.
Yes. And then we get Togar, who looks like Ergo.
Mm-hmm.
And Ergo says, and as handsome as he is evil.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Yeah. And he can also hear and see Ergo. So that is good.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, Ergo's basically pleading with Togar and saying, look, all these bad things I've said about you, I meant them in the best possible way.
Yeah, he says, I meant it in the nicest possible way, he says.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Togar like makes a kind of demonstration like how this all works. And he materializes some sort of creature in a clear liquid-filled container. And then a laser removes the little brain tic-tacs.
And he says, see, this is how it works. It wasn't harmed, and you won't be harmed either.
Yeah. Yeah. Ergo makes a good observation, because he's like, why are they doing that? They're doing that because they're all too scared to go out and experience things for themselves. We've heard that before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Sam, she starts making a case for finding a way for Ergo to be preserved once he's out of their heads.
Yeah. Yeah. She says, like, he's acting and thinking independently, he's afraid of his death, like everything we've heard before. All we're saying is that maybe there's a way of doing this without killing him. The problem is, Togar points out, that the unit, what he calls that brain tic-tac, must be in a live specimen. So he will be killed once removed.
And Ergo, he's like, but I really want to live. There's so many things that I really want to experience. I like dessert. I got the quote wrong.
He said, I want to experience the universe and I want to eat pie.
And I went to eat pie. Yes. And Daniel comes up with an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says, I was just thinking that maybe you'd want to put Ergo in you.
But Togar, he's not really down with that plan.
Yeah.
And also, Ergo is a probe to go out and collect data.
Yeah. That's what Togar says. Togar says the purpose of the technology is to observe and explore. And Carter says, but the technology is different now. And Daniel says, look, we don't know you very well, but I get the distinct feeling that Ergo is everything you're not. To which Ergo says,
yep,
you can say that again. But I think that he's everything you wish you were. Outgoing, adventuresome, That's what Daniel says. Jack says, annoying. And Daniel's like, look, it would be a chance to change, to maybe experience some of the things that you're afraid to do yourself.
And at Togar, he relents.
Yeah.
And says, well, maybe I could use this as a way to figure out how this error
happened. I think he's trying to find a rational excuse for this, because it sounds like an excuse. It's not really.
Right. But it does give us a great setup for bringing a joke full circle in the episode.
Yeah, because Ergo says, count me out. I don't want to do it. He's mean and boring and mean.
And Jack says, look, it's him or death.
Yeah. And Ergo's like, no, death or him. Ergo's like, oh dear. And then Ergo brings it full circle. He says, I'm thinking.
Yep. So well done with the writing for the jokes in this episode. Yeah.
And Ergo's like, he's so mean. And Ergo's like, yeah. And O'Neill's like, boring. So change him. Me? Change him? Haha. Okay, I'll do it.
Dom DeLuise is so great.
Yeah, so before they basically the team says goodbye to him, which I really liked, and Ergo says, see, I knew it, I knew you like me, I was right. And I think they say, yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah. And so now we get this scene where I'm like, did they just go tear set pieces off of the Next Generation set?
Kind of.
And then make everyone kind of squat under them?
Why were they squatting?
Exactly. It was so weird. It's like, did they not have 2x4s that were long enough? And like, crap, we have to make the scene happen now.
Yeah, or the set was so small that they were like, okay, we have to make this small that the camera can go in close, so we have to squat a little bit so that it all fits in the frame.
Yeah. Regardless of how it works, it was like, this bit didn't come together well.
No. Yeah, so they basically squat and like under transporter pads.
It looks like they're under transporter pads and they get lit up.
Yeah, and then the Ergo on his, no, Togar on his like head has also the laser beam thingy, and then basically the little ball thingies, brain tic tacs get removed and moved into Togar.
Right, and everyone seems okay. Mm-hmm. And but Daniel's like, I think it's Daniel. It's like, mm-hmm. Hold on, how do we know you didn't just kill?
Yeah. How do we know that Ergo's really alive? And Ergo's like, I'm here. Tell him. And Togar's like, I will as soon as you're quiet. And O'Neill and Daniel like
he's alive.
He's alive. And I think Carter is like, now that we gotten to know each other and helped each other out, maybe we got to have some information and like work together and whatever.
That but Sam just, always on the job.
But he just blinks and like SG-1 vanishes.
He's like, nope.
And Orgo's like, oh, I'm going to miss him. Hi, I know. Why don't we? And Togar's like, nope. And Orgo's like, why not? And Togar's like, no. And it's like, Orgo's like, it's really fun and exciting. Nope. Are you sure we're thinking the same thing? Positive. Oh, but you know what? You don't know what you're missing. Yeah. And with that, we switch away from Ergo, Togar.
And everyone walks right back through the Stargate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they come out the Stargate again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And General Hammond's there, and mm-hmm. there's a bunch of soldiers there. Everyone, they're in their the SG-1, they have all their gear on mm-hmm. and everything.
Yeah.
And they walk through and they're like,
yeah. Hammond says, glad you're back safe, SG-1. Was the mission successful? And Cornelius like, And Carter's like, General, didn't we just... And Hammond's like, you've been gone over 10 hours. And Carter's like, oh boy. And Ham is like, report to the infirmary.
And off they go. Yes. And then we got our credits.
Yes. Yeah. So I want to point out one important thing.
Okay.
You actually predicted this episode correctly.
I did. You're right. Yeah.
You had
first
said,
off, I'm surprised, but what did I say?
You had said Ergo is someone's name, and SG-1s meet them and have an adventure with them. Well,
I completely nailed it.
Correct on both points.
Well, I'm guessing that that I won't do that very often.
Probably not. No.
Yeah. Probably so. I'm kind of speechless, which is rare because I got prediction right. But I loved this episode.
Yeah, me too. It's Dom DeLuise is so much fun. Like all the stuff he says and the annoying. He's kind of Ergo is annoying yet likable.
Yes. Yeah, he's not malicious. Occasionally he does something that he shouldn't, but then later on he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, that actually was bad, and I get it now. I shouldn't have done that."
Yeah, and he never did it with like bad intentions. Like, I mean, the worst intention he maybe has is like self-preservation and like wanting to know something.
Mm-hmm.
He's never intentionally hurting anybody.
Yeah. It's like a child.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah, and kind of. I mean, if you think about it, kids want to know everything and they ask all those questions that Ergo was asking.
Yeah.
And they try the things that Ergo wanted to try.
And then they go and they want to play games and they want to eat pie. And
They love pie.
And they don't want to be with the boring people.
That's true. Boring.
Boring. Yeah. So,
I think, once again, I underestimated the depth of the episode, right? I mean, I didn't think we would talk about that, but like the whole thing about perception, like what's real and what's not. I did like, that is a deeper theme that we discovered basically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, and what is it to be alive?
Mm-hmm.
There's some like deep philosophical stuff buried underneath the frosting of humor.
The frosting of humor. Yeah. The fluffy outside of humor.
Yes. I loved the episode. I thought it was a lot of fun.
It was. It was.
And I get that it's basically a bottle episode.
It is. I mean, minus the set for the planet, which we basically see one set and briefly. It is a bottle episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I doubt that we're going to revisit this with follow-up episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there might be references to this at some point.
Maybe.
But my feeling is this is a one-off thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Although, wouldn't it be interesting to come back and revisit this and then have a whole Ergo Togar interaction with the team? And
Yeah, that would be interesting. Let's see if that happens or not.
We'll see.
Maybe Peter DeLuise wants his dad back on set.
It could happen.
Yeah,
And I'm betting that that Dom and Peter had a pretty good relationship.
Mm-hmm. I hope so.
Otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to do this.
That's true. That is true. I mean, the whole thing where basically Peter plays like young sexy Dom. Like that alone is like hilarious.
It's super hilarious. Yeah. And then Dom saying, yeah, I'll go work on a show where my son is directing me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
That's super cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good episode. I really also enjoyed it. Like it was a fun ride. I mean, I knew from like second one, I know what this episode was about. I remembered basically all of it. Like it's a very memorable episode.
Well, I did a surprisingly good job of keeping things mostly in order.
You did. You did, actually.
So I think that says a lot about the episode.
Yeah. It was not super complex from a story perspective. Like, it wasn't a complex structure.
No.
More or less straight.
Yeah, and there's no B story in this. And it kept me engaged all the way mm-hmm. through.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I bet you're wondering how many chevrons I'll give this one.
Yes, I am.
I'm actually torn on this one.
Ooh, okay.
I know. It would be so easy just to give it a 7.
Mm-hmm.
But is it an 8?
Huh. Okay.
I mean, in many ways, it's just a fun, humorous romp mm-hmm. through Stargate.
Mm-hmm.
And done in a really solid way mm-hmm. with really tight timing and the incredible talent of Dom DeLuise added yeah. into the mix.
And really good editing at the end. Like, I mean, to get really that into editing. A coherent story. I kind of want to see the outtakes and what was left on the cutting room floor.
I would love that too. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
I bet there's an outtake reel somewhere.
Oh, I couldn't find any, but if someone has a link or something, any pointers. Oh,
that's actually surprising. I would have thought like on the DVD box set there's outtakes and with mm-hmm. Dom DeLuise, but no. Okay. Well, that's disappointing.
Didn't have the budget for it probably.
So everyone is on their top game in this episode mm-hmm. as actors.
Yeah.
And Peter is fantastic directing. Mm-hmm. The editing is spot on.
It is.
Which is why it's just so easy to say this is a 7 because everything is just so great. And I'm entertained the whole way through.
Yeah.
But then we have this philosophical and ethical dilemma mm-hmm. that gets thrown into the mix and is handled really well without yeah. bogging down the rest of the story.
Yeah, it's not so, it took me years, 25 years to figure out that there is a philosophical story. So it's well hidden. Kind of obvious once you point it out, but it's well hidden. Like it's not bonk bonk on the head, like they say.
Nice Star Trek reference.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and give it an 8.
Okay.
I think this is 8 chevrons worthy.
All right. I will disagree with you. not really on any point. It is, everything you said is true. It is a fun story. The philosophical part makes it actually quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the 8 is like a absolutely outstanding, like, I mean, rare thing that something gets an 8. And I have a hard time giving this an 8, given what I know about the show and what I know about this episode. It is great. It is. Probably the closest to an 8 it can get without actually getting there for me. So it's a 7.
Well, we have different perspectives on the show, which is great.
Yeah.
And mine is tempered in a different way than yours because mm-hmm. all I know is what I've seen up to this point.
Yeah. And I'm not saying this isn't a bad episode or that. Like, I just know what else is coming. I know I have to reserve the 8 basically for very special episodes because it is the highest rating you can give to something. And I don't even know what's missing. I think maybe it's a little bit too simplistic in places for me. The storyline at the end is quite straightforward and it's not super complex. It's like it's a lot of comedy and some deep points, but other than that, it's not a complex story. And I think that's where I'm like, okay, that pushes it over the edge. Everything else is amazing. It says it. It's probably a 7.9999 or whatever, but it's not an 8.
Yeah. I will say, with someone else playing Ergo, I may not have rated this as an 8.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm 100% with you. I think that he was the perfect choice for this.
He was. And really, it's the performances, Dom DeLuise and the rest of the main cast, I felt they were all so good in this episode.
Yeah.
Plus Dom DeLuise.
Yeah.
Yes, in many ways, this is a very lighthearted, superficial episode.
Yeah. It is. It has some flaws in this story.
Oh,
like, I mean, how they basically wrap it up. They're like, oh, you're out of active duty. Oh, by the way, we're sending a MALP and contacting them. Like, that's kind of how this all gets resolved. Oh, we're sending you over because now you should go. Like, that's where the plot holes are for me, where I'm like, okay, I know it wasn't important. That was not the point of the episode. The point of the episode is to have a fun, lighthearted one, like, with Dom DeLuise. Okay, it's just, yeah. Didn't work.
Yeah, and I totally get it. And you're right about those things. And despite that, it was still so much fun, and I was so entertained by it that I went ahead and gave it an 8. I was debating what it would be until we actually really got into talking about the episode, and I figured by the time we were done talking, you probably, without intending to, would have talked me down to a 7.
Yeah, no, I'm not even intending to talk you down. You know,
no, I know,
I could ask you, are you not entertained?
You could.
Throw some more movie references in just in case.
You know, as long as we're doing it, why not? Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, I think
this could have been a 7, but
No, I get it. And I think from your perspective, an 8 makes sense, and that for me, it just didn't make it. But that's totally fine. We don't have to agree every time. We did agree last time, so maybe this time.
We did. And maybe we will next episode, too.
We'll see.
Need a prediction?
I need a prediction, but I'll tell you three things first.
Okay.
So the title is 100 Days.
Okay.
The teleplay credit, wow, difficult word, Brad Wright, and directed by David Worry Smith.
Okay, so we have an episode with known entities, with a solid track record. Okay, so 100 Days. Okay. This could go one of a couple ways.
Pick one.
It's hard to pick one because I will tell you both the ways and then I will choose one.
Okay.
One could be that they're going to do the Next Generation thing where we've already gotten this to a degree with Daniel and Cherie, where
The life in a moment situation.
Yes, where we have a life in a moment episode. And the other could be that we have our team stranded for 100 days. And this is how they survive during that 100-day stretch before they figure out how to get home or they're rescued.
Okay.
Now, so
I've written that down. We'll see. Which one do you think is more likely?
I'm leaning towards the second one because we just did the life in a moment thing with Daniel.
Okay.
But it doesn't mean they couldn't do a whole episode where they come into it from a different angle. Because with this, what we had with Daniel was we were jumping back and forth. And this one could be a total immersion thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting. But I'm leaning towards the second one.
Interesting. Very interesting. We'll see. We'll see what you think once you've seen it. I think you will be
okay.
I will tell you one more thing, which is not spoiling anything. I did cry at the end of this episode every time I watched it. I'll probably do that this time again.
Well, that could apply to either of the scenarios offered up,
which is why I was totally happy to tell you that, because I knew that would not make any difference whatsoever.
Yeah, that's not a spoiler.
Yeah, exactly. No, you will have to watch it.
All it tells me is that when the episode ends, they will have done an excellent job of wrapping up whatever it is.
Yes, they will. So we'll have to go watch it. It will not take 100 days to watch, I hope.
I hope not. All right. So with that, Patrice, I guess we should wrap this up. But before we do that, where can people find you?
Well, with you on the British Tech Network twice a week, Thursdays and Fridays on the Big Show and the Mac Show, talk about tech, like general tech and also Apple things that are happening. Very interesting, always fun panels. Everything I'm doing on my website, thepatrice.com. And I do other stuff, but you will find it all there.
Awesome. Okay, then for me, Jay Gammon on the social medias, and I am most active on Mastodon, Blue Sky, and PixelFed. And then I'll just pick a couple shows. And I'm trying to remember, what did I pick last time? I can't remember. So how about
The Context
Machine. The Context Machine with Brian Chaffin. Yeah.
We're contractually obligated to mention it, right? I don't
we
know which
are,
contract that is, because I have not signed any, but we are absolutely.
Yeah. When we see the contract, we're going to be like, yeah.
That makes
and
sense.
I have to do what? Yeah. how about Mac Voices Live? Chuck Joyner Show.
Yes.
Yeah. So then for contacting us for Retro Rewatch, we have an email address, hello@retrorewatch.com. And we're also on Blue Sky. We are retrorewatch.com on Blue Sky. And on Mastodon, we are retrorewatch@techhangout.social.
Yep.
And those are the big places.
We've had some great interactions there. So, like, reach out to us.
We have.
Let us know. We like talking to people.
Yeah, we do. And it's fun to do this with you, but it's also fun to get to talk with the people that that are tuning in. So thank you, everyone, for that. All right, I think, Patrice... Oh, go ahead.
I want to point out one final thing. I think...
Okay.
I have a feeling the writers, producers, whatever, from Stargate have found their philosophical direction, their North Star. They're starting to do more stories like that, where there is a deeper meaning to the story. It's not just, oh, it's fun to do that. So we'll see how that goes, but it's just something to keep an eye out for.
Okay. I will let you know over time if I feel like that's a fair assessment. But you're right. I have noticed that we're getting more of the philosophical dilemmas showing up, and that's interesting, because I mean there was a time when we had episodes where you put Sam in a fancy dress and then made her fight some warlord.
Yeah, and sold her to others, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so with that.
All right, so we should close the iris and then I can head back over to the couch and watch 100 days in less than 100 days.
And it's not going to be boring.
Boring. All right, Patrice, thank you for just being awesome. And everyone, thank you for joining us. All right, let's close that iris.